welcome to episode 96 of the Weekly Wind Down. Stacy, the political princess, is in Disneyland again. So Aaron Zach decided to come back and rejoin us. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Aaron, the geeky gal pal.
All right. Tonight I am drinking a California Red blend. Big surprise. Even bigger surprise is from California, which I just said. Sorry. We were talking to my sister before this. I already drank like an entire glass. So I'm already a little woo. So it's called Primal Roots. It's sensual and provocative wine rooted in the art of winemaking. The true essence of our wine begins with the raw qualities of Syrah, Merlot, Zinfandel, and Petite Syrah that are artfully blended to create a smooth, full body, sensual wine. Aromas of mocha, black cherry, vanilla, and spice give way to a silky texture and rich flavors of raspberries, chocolate, and dark caramel that are truly uninhibited. Again, don't taste any of that, but it's good. I don't know about all that nonsense, but it's good.
I'm drinking something really similar. I'm drinking Transcend with like the Z-I-N, like Transcend. It's a red blend 2015 from California, and I picked it up at Costco because it was under $10.
Nice.
And it actually doesn't even have a description on the back. That's how
perfect. It's like, listen, we both know what we're getting. Just, yep. It's fine.
Costco,
drink it.
On
yeah.
Pick me up and I'll do it for you. That's
we're both aware of our places in this world. You're buying wine from Costco. I'm being sold in Costco. Just drink it and shut up. Yeah. Pour me in a carafe. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep. Pour me in a carafe and let me breathe, bitch.
So I am actually drinking Babe Rosé because I am on a diet. And I drank it the last time, and I don't know, when we did the sex talk I drank it, and I really love the back, so I'm gonna read it again.
You drank all of the things at the sex talk.
Oh my
so
God. I don't I probably did shots of tequila in the bathroom. I don't know. Who knows? But it says, hey, you guys, you look great. Love your face. Have you lost weight? Let's be honest. Someone had to create a bubbly rosé.
You're dripping out of the top of your can.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All over my laptop. That was delicious. And most of all, so us. You're welcome. Love you. Miss you. Hate you. Love you. Meant it. Oh, let me wipe this up.
That sounds like a bitchy white girl. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, me either.
It's so me.
I don't talk to my friends like that.
I do. Sometimes. Sometimes every now and then I'm like, oh my God, I hate you so much.
Well, but yeah.
And I love you.
Okay, yeah, all a little right. bit.
But it's delicious, and I really, really, really enjoy this rosé. I don't know why. It's something about the bubbles. But can I also say I'm chasing it with Tito's and soda. I'm ready.
Why don't you just pour it into the Tito's and see how that pans out? You're welcome.
Hey.
You're welcome.
It's like a rosé Tito spritzer.
Hey, look at you. $1 million idea.
Glug, glug, glug.
I mean, what's the difference between taking a sip of that and then taking a sip of your Tito's?
Let me try it before. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I'll wait.
That's not bad. Not bad. Jackie, you are on to something. I feel like that's danger, Will Robinson. That's why
I get paid the big bucks, Aaron. Right there.
Forget.
All right, so we were going to talk about the Mueller report, but Stacy, the political princess, forgot, I guess, she was going to Disneyland and didn't tell us till today, so no one prepared for it but me. So you guys get to listen to us discuss, well, you're going to listen to what it actually just sounds like when we talk when we're done recording. So we're actually going to start it out, though, with pet peeves of ours. And I think Stacy has a little rant to start us off with.
I do.
Okay.
I do,
we're all here for it. Everyone's
bugging me.
Yep. You have everyone trapped listeners.
Okay. Trapped.
Okay. I mean, I guess not. They could pull their earbuds out. I guess they're not really trapped.
True. So I live on a working farm, right? This is not news to anybody. We butcher our own pigs. It's what we do. I know my friends that is not their thing.
That's
and
me.
I don't talk about it with them because I respect that, right? So, that's like me. You, Jax.
I don't eat pork in general. It's not just that I'm like, I don't want to hear about where my meat comes from. I do not eat pork.
Not even bacon.
No, oh, wow. I don't eat pork.
Oh.
But I respect that, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you come at me like, hey, I think that pigs are really smart and they shouldn't be eaten. And I'm like, cool. And you don't eat it. And that's awesome.
I don't guilt you for it, though.
No, not at all. It's just like our mutual thing that we know about each other.
Yeah.
I have one daughter that refuses to eat anything that is grown on our farm. And that's awesome. And I support her in that. And I let her know when stuff is being cooked that she can't eat. And I have one daughter that is all up in the blood and guts and wants an anatomy lesson and dissected a pig testicle last night because she's into that. Like, whatever. I respect both views. But what, like, grinds my gears, because we're about to do a pig roast this weekend and we are in the midst of butchering and doing all the things, is the people that shame me for it. And they're like, ew, how can you possibly do that? That's your pet. And how can you kill your pet? And how can you do these things? And then they post pictures of their breakfast and they're eating bacon. And they want to come to my barbecue. And they want me to bring my pig meat to their barbecue. But then at the same time, they want to shame me and say, oh, you're so mean. I don't want to hear about it. And you're just a terrible person for killing your own pet. They're not pets, by the way. But you can't have it both ways. Either that's your thing and that's awesome and I respect that. Or you come over and you eat the pork and you don't have to watch it being slaughtered, but it is what it is. You can't be in the middle. You can't shame me for it and then have your bacon too. That's all I'm saying. That's my rant. I'm tired of people doing that.
I agree with that, though. That is honestly, like, I can totally see where you're coming from. I mean, I don't raise pigs, but I have always heard, like, I mean, not always, but I've heard a lot of people say they don't want to eat pork because they are, you know, pigs are such smart animals and, you know, or they are very, you know, in tune with animals and don't want to eat animals, whatever they're argument is, Jackie, whatever your argument is, like, I completely support it and stand behind it. But, like, at the same time, like, you can't turn around and eat bacon and, like, take pictures of it. Like, that's not okay to shame you. I mean, like, I guess if you're like, oh my gosh, I just cannot give up bacon, like, I feel so bad, eat it. Like, yeah, like, I'll probably laugh with you about that. But you can't shame someone for it and then turn around. I mean, people do that all the time about so many things, though, and it's so awful. You know, like, racist people too will be like, I can't stand XYZ about XYZ culture, but then turn around and be like, my best friend is, you know, this. But, like, you can't have both. You need to, like, pick where you stand.
I think a good rule of thumb, like, and not eating pork was a personal choice. I don't expect people not to eat pork with me. Well, my wife eats pork. Like, it's just something I chose to do. It's been going on for almost a decade now. I just don't do it. I don't care if other people do, though, because it doesn't affect me. Like, we've grown into this culture so much that we're so concerned about what everyone else is doing all the time and not worried about our own bullshit. Like, so many keyboard warriors out there willing to, you know, lay their social media lives on the line to argue with these people. And you're not going to change anyone's mind about anything. Mind your business, mind your own family, mind your own friends. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. It's so crazy. I love Stacey. We talked earlier. I've known her half my life. I don't think less of her and I don't care that she eats pork. That's her choice. Mm-hmm. She doesn't care that I go down on, you know, what? She doesn't care that I...
You eat what? You eat what?
I'm not drunk enough yet. She doesn't care that I
might be. Hey.
What's the difference? You can't have it both ways. You can't want people to be whatever about certain things in your life, but then you get to have an opinion about everything in their life. Like, just let people live and do what makes them happy. Like, we have such limited time on this planet. If it's not hurting you, shut the fuck up. Just shut up.
I'm super respectful about it. I do not post pictures of blood and guts of us, like, murdering pigs. I understand that it offends a lot of people, and I respect that. And I do not talk about it.
Well,
with a
you
lot
also
of those
do
people.
Not murder your pigs. You go about it in a very humane way to kill them, to eat them. Like, it's, you're not out there like torturing them and killing them. I just think the concept of murder is like, you kill them as humanely as possible in order to eat them. Like, you're not out there hurting.
Right, and I don't have them in small cages.
Right.
I don't.
No, they roam all over the place.
Right.
Even
no,
like when you posted pics of the baby goats, like, you made sure that there was no blood and guts, even of the pictures of the baby goats that were just born.
Right.
Like, that, I think that's so nice of you to do that. You know?
Well, I don't want to, like, freak people out posting blood and guts pictures, but I just feel like I'm not, like, rubbing it in people's faces, like, this is what we do, we butcher pigs. It's a known fact, that's what we do, but I just feel like the people that want to shame me about it and then ask me in, like, a personal message to bring my pork to their barbecue are just stupid.
Yes,
and that was just my rant.
You know what also that goes along that same vein is, I remember when I was growing up, like, one of the things, I grew up in Colorado. So Western Slope of Colorado, they hunted, everyone hunted. We had a legit day in the school year where we learned about hunting techniques. And you could go if you wanted to learn how to hunt, or you didn't have to go. Well, I didn't really want to learn how to hunt. I don't necessarily want to kill animals. You know, I mean, I guess if there's an apocalypse and I need to kill a deer, I'll do it. But I don't really want to. So I never learned how to do it. And I never wanted to eat the deer meat. I never wanted to eat the elk meat or the antelope or whatever. My stepdad, love him dearly, made chili with elk meat. And I ate it. And at the end of it, they were like, that's elk meat. And you didn't even know it. And I'm like, that's
not fair.
Like, I get that you're trying to teach me some lesson about being a barbarian and how I would never know if I were, you know, dragging my wife behind me and have a big stick over my shoulder that it was elk meat. But, like, I love that you say that, like, you support your children, too, and, like, their decisions. Like, one of them wants it, one of them doesn't. Like, that's so awesome, because when your kid, like, makes a decision, I think it's important to support them and not be like, oh, P.S., you just ate pork and you didn't want to.
She would be crushed. Yeah, oh, I could never do that to her. I'm honest with her, you know, when it's home-raised stuff, I would never feed that to her and be like, guess what you just ate? I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
She would have a meltdown.
I definitely cried.
There's also a distinct difference between people who, like, hunt for food because they, you know, that they're actually going to use the animal. And then I think people who hunt for sport.
Oh,
first
for
of all,
sure.
I don't, and if this pisses anyone off, I'm sorry. I don't think hunting is very sporting. Like, you're aiming a bullet at an animal that doesn't know you're there, that doesn't know they're playing a game, that doesn't know anything that's going on, mm-hmm. and you kill. Now, I can at least understand the premise of you hunt them, you kill them, you eat them, you take their skins, like, you do all these things, you actually use it. But you see those assholes that just go out and kill fucking elephants and, like, giraffe, like a giraffe. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
my God. Or a lion? Like, why would you kill a lion?
I can understand pigs. I can understand deer. Things that are commonly consumed. Now, if you even had a tribe that was trying to feed their entire tribe and they killed an elephant, I would get that. I would. Like, you're trying to sustain children and you know, people that are under your care, and you killed an elephant that's going to feed you for 6 months. I get it. But these people that go out there and kill these docile creatures that pay $100,000 to shoot them from 400 yards away and they don't know it's coming, it pushes a button in me that I can't even. It's the same kind of button that when I hear a child is abused, like, it's that same, like, they didn't have a fighting chance and you robbed them of it because you're an asshole. Like, that's the same kind of, like, a fucking giraffe. Like, they're the most docile creatures on the planet.
I know. Yeah,
yeah. No, well, reason
like,
for that.
I even think, like, you know, when you said, like, a tribe kills an elephant to eat it. Like, I honestly don't even think tribes would kill an elephant. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying.
Like, I honestly think, like, they even get the, like, tribal communities in Africa understand that they need to kill things that are, the population is out of control. Just the same way, like, in Colorado, where they kill, they, like, hunt deer to keep the population in control.
They do that here, too. That. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, anywhere that they hunt.
Because deer get all over the damn place. Like, they really do.
They're hitting them and they're they become a nuisance. And I get it. But it's like, I think even in that community, in a tribal community, they even know that, like, these animals are majestic creatures that should not be killed. And then we have people that are, like, going out there paying thousands and thousands of dollars to kill these majestic creatures that should never be hunted. And just, I completely agree with you, Jackie. Like, it just makes my skin crawl and I get so enraged about it.
And it's not even like... It's not even the thrill of the hunt where you're camping for a whole week trying to catch that one buck and shoot it. It's like people that pay all this money and they have like a guide that takes them out and hands them a gun that they've never shot before. And they're like, look through here and pull the trigger when I tell you to. Like, what is that? What do you get out of that? That doesn't even make sense. Yeah. And I'm all for like hunting if you're going to use all the stuff. If you go hunt deer and you camp with, you know, like a bunch of generations in your family and you use the antler for making, what did my grandpa do? Deer or what are they called? Knife handles. Mm-hmm. And you use the meat and you eat the meat and you do all these things. That's awesome. Just like we do with our pigs. We render the fat. My next door neighbor uses the organs for cat food. It's a whole thing. We use all the pieces. That's awesome. I'm all for it. I'm not against hunting, but those like sport hunting safari.
It's not a sport.
Bullshit.
Yeah, right. It's not total a sport bullshit. If only one team knows they're fucking playing. Like, it's just exactly. Not. Right? It's just not.
Agreed.
It's so sad to see those creatures.
I even have a different, I even have like a, like an, a, like an aversion to like, okay, so there's hunting where you're like in like the Western, I don't even know how they hunt in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But like, most people down here that hunt, they get up in a tree stand. You know what I mean? Or like in Indiana, yeah, they get up like in a tree stand too, yeah. And they wait for like a deer to walk by and then they shoot. Like in Colorado, you're out like in the bush and like you're going far in to like shoot an elk and like.
That sounds really dirty.
I mean.
You're in the bush. You're going real far in and you're
going real deep to find your prize.
To find your meat.
But I mean, it's just like the idea behind it is kind of, I mean, I get the need to hunt. I get it. But it's just sometimes the whole, like the culture behind it just scares me. And I don't know why, but it creeps That's me out weird. Sometimes too.
Speaking of hunting, did you guys watch the movie Split?
Not yet.
No. Where is this?
Oh my gosh. Did you see Unbreakable?
Yes.
With Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Okay. So Split is this movie where you watch the whole thing and there's like some hunting parts. That's where I got there from that. But it's this guy that has split personality and you don't know that for the first 10 minutes. So sorry, spoiler alert. But it's so good. And then the last 5 minutes of the movie, they're talking about how this guy is a villain. And this one girl's like, remember that guy in the wheelchair? What was his name? It was something. And Bruce Willis shows up and goes, they called him Mr. Glass. And it ties into Unbreakable. And you're like, what the hell just happened? Because the entire 2-hour movie, you have no idea it's connected to Unbreakable. And then now they have the new Glass movie that I haven't seen yet. So I was just curious if you guys had seen Split because I want to see Glass now.
I have not seen it, but I really want to see Split. I have Unbreakable and I love it because it's so, it's like a deep superhero movie, if that makes any sense. Because like I love superhero, like everything,
same,
like Marvel,
same.
You know, like I'm so into it. Like I will probably bring this up later, but like the idea of like learning why a character is the way they are, like the superhero or the villain, why they are the way they are, makes you so much more understanding of whatever crimes they commit or whatever they do to save people. You get it. Like you understand it. And I mean the in Unbreakable in particular, like I feel like Samuel L. Jackson's character, like even though he's like you're like, oh my God, you're so, but you get it. Like, you understand where he's coming from because he grew up with this disease, and I don't know. But yeah, Split, I definitely want to see that movie. I absolutely want to see it.
I like that Bruce Willis is just a regular guy. He's just a regular dad, right? Like, working this like minimum wage job or whatever. And then they find out that, oh, you're a superhero. Like, I love that. He's just a dad.
Yeah, he has, like, cool. no idea why he survived certain things, why he's never been sick his entire life. Like,
right? He doesn't even notice.
So random, yeah. Like, he had no idea that he's never had the flu. He's like, never been sick. His wife, no, you haven't been. I think that's really cool.
Really. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons, like, as I've gotten older, I've always loved superheroes, comic books. Like, I really do. My son's first birthday is... it's an Aquaman theme, but there was not enough Aquaman stuff, so it's like Justice League, and I was trying to avoid the Avengers just because it's so Avengers right now. But I think, I don't know, when I was younger, it's funny how you start to relate more to like the villains in superhero movies as you get older, because you're like, bro, I get it. Like, I get why you're so angry. And I actually think it's an interesting kind of phenomenon, the way superhero movies and comics, and they've done it for years, really break down like the whole good versus evil phenomenon. Like, in a way, so there's evil in the world. There'll always be evil in the world. But with superheroes, at least you can kind of understand the evil, and you can relate it to, you see these kids that get bullied and they grow up to be, you know, the villains. You can see the long lasting effects of all of these things that happen throughout their lives that kind of turn them into the epitome in these movies and these comic books of those that want to do harm because they were hurt. And I just think, like, superheroes movies and comic books don't get enough credit for really getting down to like who humans really are fundamentally, because these people that do bad things, someone hurt them, someone wronged them, someone broke them at such an early age, and no one was there to help them. And I don't think we pay enough attention to that as a culture. Like, I just don't. I mean, and I'm not trying to do a deep dive into superhero movies here, but I've gotten to the age now where I kind of feel bad for them. I'm like, God damn, if you had one adult that cared about you at some point in your life, you wouldn't have turned out to be this person. And then you look at the superheroes, and most of the time, not in like Batman, and not necessarily in, well, Spider-Man kind of, but they grew up in like these very privileged environments, and kind of everybody worked to get them to the point they were, and everyone believed in them, and everyone made sure they got the love and the admiration and like all of these things. And you can kind of see in real time where like society moves to like these bitter creatures or like these kind of superheroes. And I just think it's such a good mirror of everything we go through all of the time. So I'm really interested to see Split, because I did really like Unbreakable. I think it's fascinating, the whole premise of it. So I do really want to see, I have such a fascination with how superheroes are created and the villains are created. And there's always some redeeming quality in the villains. You're always kind of like, I get it. I get it, bro. Like, get it.
A perfect example is in The Incredibles.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Like Syndrome. Mr. Incredible. Yep. Like, when Mr. Incredible totally is like, nope, I don't want anything to do with you, kid. Go home. Like,
Go home, buddy.
It's like, you know immediately what's going to, you know, Syndrome is that his deep wiring now is that he can do whatever the hell he wants because Mr. Incredible dissed him, you know, like, and that whole story. I mean, I know it's a Pixar movie, but come on, it's the best.
But how many life lessons are taught through like Pixar and Disney and comic books, and like think of how generations were shaped through Superman and even Batman, and it so many young kids read these and they kind of pick a side kind of idea. I don't think we give them enough credit for how much they shape entire generations of people.
Great. I agreed. Like, one of my favorite superheroes is Captain America. And I love in the Captain America, the First Avenger, when, you know, the doctor that's making him into Captain America says, like, you be a good man. It's not about, you know, anything else. It's like being a good man. Like, that's what you're supposed to be. I don't need you to be like the best. I want you to just be good. Just be, keep your good human side of you. And I think that's so important too, because like a lot of times, you know, we think, oh, he's the strongest, he's the fastest, he's the best, and that's why he's a superhero. It's like, no, it's also because he is a good human being, or she is a good human being. And that is why, like, Captain Marvel is amazing, because she is a good human being on top of everything else.
Well, look at Superman, right? Like, yeah, I mean, he's an alien, obviously, and he's, you know, a strong stop a speeding bullet and like all these things. But he was raised in like the Midwest with people that really value truth and honesty and honor and valor and all of these things. And it's kind of that twist that imagine the destruction he could have done had he been raised by other people, because really Superman's greatest strength is his upbringing. It's mm-hmm. his commitment to always doing what is right, regardless of who says anything about it. So I don't know. I think there's a reason they have, you know, stayed the test of time and been popular since the 1920s, because I think it really pulls at people, the whole, there is right and there is wrong. And, you know, but there is also a gray area. You see it in movies like The Incredibles. You can even see it in some of like the Justice League and the Avengers movie. Because sometimes you're like, fuck, man, I get it. Like, yeah. I'd be pissed too.
Well, when Thanos, you know, snaps his fingers in Infinity War and because he knows that the population is getting so big that it's devastating worlds and devastating. It's like, you're like, well.
Doesn't everyone have that split second that they're like, I get it.
As long as I'm not one of the ones going, I mean, I get it.
But it goes back to that question of like, you know, you kill a million people, you're a conqueror. You kill one, you're a murderer.
Right? Yeah. Well, and like, you know, when you just said like about Superman, like what if he was bad, basically? There's a movie coming out about that. It's called mm-hmm. Brightburn. And it's like supposed to be like, what if Superman was bad?
Well, it was in the comic books, like, too. The Red Kryptonite turns him evil. Good. The Red Kryptonite. Yeah so, exactly. you can, like, find it.
It's totally amazing, the idea behind it. And, like, what if, like, these people that we've looked up to, these superheroes that we've looked up to, like, what if, like, that one split thing that happened turned them into the destroyer of worlds or whatever, you know? And you're like, oh, my God.
Well, look at the history of the world. Like, imagine how differently World War II would have gone. So World War II, essentially, United States started using the A-bomb. Mm-hmm. Albert Einstein wasn't American. He was mm-hmm. born in Germany. Mm-hmm. Imagine how differently the war would have turned out. Like, it's the whole I don't know. We could do, like, a deep dive into the whole theory of it and stuff, but
I've had too much to drink to do this, but I feel like it's episode.
There's a lot of worldwide decisions that are made based on the virtue of singular men. Unfortunately, men, because of the history of the world, I'm not just being obtuse about it, but men have determined the history of the world. So it's just crazy.
What's really neat about Split is I'm just going to spoil the shit out of it now because I want to talk about it. But this guy has a split personality because of bad things that happened to him when he was a kid. So he made these different identities to go into when bad things were happening. So there's this lady, his psychiatrist, that's treating him, that believes in all these different identities being a real thing. And there's all these scientists that say it's bullshit. He's faking it. He can't be these different identities. But she actually has proof that one of his identities can have diabetes and one cannot. And one can be allergic to bee stings. And one isn't. And she does these tests. And she has, like, she says, you know, one person is, she brings in a dog and says the dog is friendly with this one personality. But as soon as the person switches to a different personality, the dog knows that they're bad and, like, barks at them or whatever. So it's really interesting to think about split person. And that's where she goes into basically that you can use all of your brain to become something superhuman. you know? So that's how he's going to become a villain, is he can be like, well, I can believe myself into this person that's really strong. And so that part's a little far-fetched. But it's really interesting when she talks about split personalities and how they can be so different. And I'm like, that's a crazy concept to me. And it makes it really interesting. And another thing I was going to say about, like, relating to the villains is that I read this one book, and I know I talked about it on, like, episode 10, but it's the other Wes Moore, where this guy, he's, like, a Rhodes Scholar. He is a decorated, like, army officer, all these great things. And he finds another guy in his neighborhood named Wes Moore, just Googles his name one day, and finds another Wes Moore that grew up a block away that is in jail for shooting a cop. And so he goes to interview him, and he's like, bro, we're the same age. We grew up in the same neighborhood. We're both named Wes Moore. We're both black. We're both, you know, we have all these things alike. How did we go down different paths? And it's like, it's such a good book. It walks you through their lives and stuff, but it's what my mom calls the give a damn factor. Kids need to have somebody in their lives, just one person, that gives a damn about them. Whether it's a parent, you know, an aunt, an uncle, a school teacher, whatever it is, that changes somebody's path so drastically. And for this one guy, Wes Moore, it was his mom. His mom came in, and he had gotten arrested like 3 times. And his mom came in and was like, forget it. I'm sending you to military school. We have to straighten you out and figure it out. And it was that one person, because he would have gone down the same path as the other Wes Moore. And like, because he had already started selling drugs and, you know, doing all these bad things. And so it's just the give a damn factor that like changes kids' entire lives.
So that poses the question, though, do you think people are born good or evil?
I don't know, because there's also like people that are born with mental illness and that couldn't have been controlled. So like if you have like a chemical imbalance that makes you maybe schizophrenic with violent tendencies.
There's schizophrenic people though that are not violent.
Right, but I'm talking about that specific people that I'm not calling them evil, but there are people that are born with a chemical imbalance that leads to violent tendencies that is not because of nurture. That's nature over nurture, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of, like, you look at Ted Bundy is a good example. He had a pretty normal childhood. Nothing extraordinary happened to him. And he was, I used to believe that all people were born good, you know, that human beings in essence were formidable people and they make bad decisions. And I do believe in, you know, systemic racism and systemic poverty. And like, they're given terrible circumstances that it's incredibly difficult to work your way out of. Does it happen? Sure. Mm-hmm. But it's really isolated incidents when they're able to overcome the obstacles that have been put in front of them. But then when I wrote Lucy's Chance, I did like this real fucking deep dive into like serial killers, like real deep. Cause I find them fascinating. Like the whole psychopath, sociopath, like to be void of empathy in my head, I mean, it opens a door to be evil. But a part of me also thinks you're completely free of social inhibitions. So what are people capable of if society doesn't, if they don't care, truly care what society thinks of them? If you don't, if you're not worried about hurting someone's feelings or someone being mad at you or, you know, someone...
The law.
What are you capable? Are we truly animals then? If you are able to eliminate all of those things that tether us to humanity and make us people who are involved in social environments, are we just animals?
So basically, if there was no consequences, would we be like the Purge?
Not just
I was just going to say the Purge.
Not just consequences like legally, but I mean, I know for me, if I hurt my wife's feelings, I'm not going to jail, but I feel bad. Like, I don't feel good as a person. I want to apologize. I want to make it better. If I hurt one of my friend's feelings, I want to make it up to them. Imagine being absent of that. Is that freeing or is it hindering?
I cannot even imagine.
If it was like the Purge, where it was just like there were no laws against it, like tethering you to like being a good person, if it was just like that, I would say people would do good. Like, yeah. Right? Because you do have that feeling because you're human.
Because you feel guilty.
You feel bad. You feel
so
remorse.
Empathy
you,
ties
you have empathy.
Empathy yeah. ties you to humanity, not laws.
Right.
Yeah.
So then that's the whole theory of the anarchist theory, right? Like, take away the laws and let people govern themselves because people are good and they will help their neighbors. Why bound them by laws?
No, because like here's a perfect example. Like I literally like my old job. So I don't think anyone listens to it from there, but whatever. But like my boss was.
If we had a dime for every time we said, I don't think anyone listens from there.
I'm listening to it right now. Sorry. But like I couldn't stand him so much, and I remember vividly in my mind, like imagining me going up to him and killing him. Oh. And I remember being like, oh my God, I have got to get out of here because, and that's just it. Like had I not had that thought process of like, you can't do that. This is not normal. What the hell are you thinking? Like if I had not had that, he'd be dead. Like he'd be dead. I would have bought a gun. I would have gone in and I would have shot him because like, I literally could not stand the way he talked to me, the way he looked at me, the way he breathed, the way he walked, anything. I was like, this man is the epitome of evil and I need to get rid of it. And that's not my job. I'm not a superhero. I shouldn't do things like that. But like the fact that I knew in my brain that I should not do that is the reason he's still alive. So, I mean, whatever.
Well, where does like other people's opinions of you fall into that? So maybe it's not your own guilt, remorse feelings, and it's not the law, but what other people think of you. So like if I'm like, oh, I just, this person cut me off and I want to flip him off and like run him off the road and blah, blah, blah. But maybe your spouse is in the passenger seat and you're like, oh, they're going to be like, why are you so spiteful? Why are you so angry? Blah, blah, blah. You like, if they're going to like look down on you. So where does that fall into humanity? You
but
know
that's,
what I mean?
That's the difference between us and like psychopaths and sociopaths. They're void from that. They are completely free from any of those feelings. So that's my question. Is it freeing or are you missing something? Because empathy, in theory, empathy, love, caring, adoration, like jealousy, hatred, those are all things that make them, because they don't feel those either. They don't feel hatred. They don't feel anger. Like they don't have those. Well, they do have anger, and but they don't feel, they don't care that they hurt your feelings because they don't know what that feels like. They don't have emotions.
Right.
So does that make them free? Or does that make them, are they evolved? Are they evolved past us? Is what I've always wondered. Like, are serial killers just like the next evolutional step towards?
Or are they behind?
Are they behind? Right. Or are they behind? I don't know.
Like
that's why I think they're so fascinating.
Did you watch that movie, Lucy?
Yes. Loved it. Like, okay, first of all, I'll watch anything with Scarlett Johansson. Like, I'm just going to put that out there.
Like the
throw in some leather pants? What?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Sign me up for two. Yes.
That's an interesting concept, too, right? Is that humans don't use all of our brain, and if we did, what would happen? Would we be evolved or would we be robot-like?
But is it your brain that kicks in? Because, and I mean, I understand they're all tied together. I'm not a dum-dum. But when I hurt someone's feelings, it hurts in my stomach. Like, it hurts in my chest. It's not, yet my brain goes into overdrive being like, how do you fix it? What did you do? Like, what did you say? Like, those things. But it's an actual instinctual emotion that I feel that I don't want to hurt anyone. I mean, sometimes, yeah, whatever, but that's very rare. I don't ever want to, even the maddest I ever am at my wife, I don't ever want to actually hurt her feelings. And if I do, I feel terrible, like really, really bad. But I'm kind of like, what would it feel like to not feel that at all? Like to just
like, fuck it. Like middle fingers in the air, like,
But then I wouldn't care about Stacy the way I care about her. I wouldn't care about my dog the way I care about him. Like I'd be missing out on all of these things. That's why I'm saying, are you under evolved or over evolved?
I think you're under, because I always think back to the idea which I brought up earlier, is like the barbarian dragging their significant other behind them. Like they literally do not care. They care about nothing. They care about eating. They care about sex. And they care about
they actually care about procreation, like they want to give offspring. Like,
yes, they want to have another barbarian that's going to drag another woman behind them. Like, but I, like, in my mind, I think that, like psychopaths and serial killers, like, they literally are under evolved. Like, even though they, although I do think too, they are using a part of their brain that, like, we don't utilize fully, maybe. And that's why they're completely so hard to understand where they're coming from, is like, they're in this moment that we cannot get to. And that's not necessarily a, I mean, obviously it's a bad thing, but it's like, they're using something that we can't. But I truly don't think that they are to the point that we are at as, like, a human beings, a culture with empathy. Like, truly, they do not, they're just not where we're at. They don't understand how to process these feelings of empathy, of, you know, remorse, of, you know, like, I'm so sorry that I murdered this person. Like, they just don't even know how to get to
But
that.
Then that begs the question, is society defined by its social interactions or by its actual physical place in the world? Like, people fear America because America could decimate any country because we pour ungodly amounts of money into our military. Like, that, people don't, at, they don't adore us, they're scared because our military is stronger than any military force on the planet. But is what makes us civilized the fact that we have the, why don't we feel that empathy for people we don't know? Why don't we feel that empathy for refugees? Why don't we feel that empathy for women who, you know, have to dress in complete garb, for people that will never, why don't we feel those things for others if that's what makes us a civilized organism?
But I think we do.
Well, we do.
Yeah, yeah. People do. It's just,
so are they under evolved?
The,
oh. No, I'm not trying to be a dick about it. If you took, like, the Republicans as a whole, and I'm making a gross generalization, and I don't mean to hate on people that are, like, in the, whatever, blah 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 blah, are they under evolved or are we too sympathetic? Are we opening ourselves up to be hurt?
I don't think that that's a fair analysis, because I think that people, if you're taking it as, like, a Democrat and Republican thing, I think that's not fair, because they're being fed different information, right? They're being fed information that these people are invading our country and these people are bad and they're going to hurt people. And so they're thinking, I got to protect my people and my stuff and do these things. So I don't think that's a fair comparison, but I see where you're going. So if we say, like, instead of taking it as the left and the right, let's say the KKK and normal people, because come on, right? They're not normal. So maybe really racist people.
Yeah, I'm talking in extremes, like, not like, yeah. Go ahead.
Right. Are they unevolved, I don't know. Like, that's,
or are they tapping into their animal instinct to protect their own? See what I'm saying? It's conundrum in my head. Evolved. Conundrum in my head.
Right? But, like, just because they're tapping into some instinct that we don't tap into does not necessarily mean that they're more evolved than us, because they're not, they're also not tapping into the instinct that we have, that we're like,
oh no, I'm saying they're under evolved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. They're under evolved. Yes.
Because I mean, I've said on here before, we're programmed to no fault of our own to stay with, like, people who look like us, because a tribal caveman instinct is, you look like me, you're part of my tribe, you won't hurt me. So you have to actively fight against that instinct to make friends that don't look like you, that aren't the same color as you, that speak different languages than you, because instinctually we're afraid of that because it's unknown and that's a threat to us. So we have to actively fight against that. And I'm not saying, like, I see a person of color and I'm like, I need to be friends with them because I need to prove that I'm more evolved. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you, but to be open to that concept, you do have to decide that you want, because it's easy. It's easy to stay with people who look like you and act like you and have the same beliefs. It's easy for me to talk to my Democratic friends. It's harder for me to talk to my Republican friends and have the same kind of intelligent conversation. That's not to say they're not as intelligent. You have to fight against that instinct, though, of you don't understand my world. I don't want to talk to you. It's a self-protection mechanism. But the world is going to fall if we are not open to that.
Remember when 20 episodes ago we talked about Jodi Picoult's Small Great Things? Was it Small Great Things? Yeah. Where it was the...
So
yeah,
good.
So it was a black nurse.
So good.
Do you know what we're talking about, Erin?
No, I need to read this, yes.
Her books are incredible. So
yeah, I do like her books a lot.
A black nurse is working in a maternity ward, and there's a baby, and its parents are KKK members, and the baby has some issues, and I don't even remember if he had issues before.
Yeah, he was.
But, like, the parents... He was like preemie. Something was going on where it's a little sketchy. But the parents say, we don't want this nurse to touch our baby.
Because she's
because
black.
They're KKK members. Yeah. Right. So then the baby goes into like cardiac arrest. Something happens. And she's standing there going, do I honor their wishes or do I save the baby? Mm-hmm. And Jodi is such an incredible writer that she walks you through their lives leading up to this point, and you feel some kind of way about the KKK father.
Yeah.
And you actually feel like you understand where he's coming from a little bit, because she's just that great of a writer.
Yeah,
so I feel like writer. Yeah, she's amazing. So I feel like there's that factor too, where if you could see, and I think Jax, it was your sister that posted that thing, if you could read everyone's story, you would love them a little bit more. It's that kind of thing. If you could see into the background of people that you disagree with on such a strong level, like people in the KKK, you would kind of see where they were coming from and you might understand a little bit more. And I feel like that's just it. It's people that are jaded so badly that are racist. You know what I mean? Or that have these extreme views that we don't understand. They're jaded by life events.
I agree. But I also agree too. Like, I think a lot of times, you know, I feel like it would be so beneficial if we could see people's backstories and why they're in the spot that they're in. Because I think a lot of times we can't stand people, or I hate this person because of this, or, you know, like this person rubs me the wrong way because of this, but they have no idea why that person got to that point or why they're doing this. And I think it'd be so amazing if we really could, like as a culture, like as a human, just be able to like look at the person and be like, okay, this is why they are the way they are. And like, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad person or that they have no right to live any longer. It's that they've gone through some shit, and we need to be understanding of that and learn how to just like embrace the person as who they are, and not necessarily try to change them, but try to understand why they are the way they are.
But then you get into the whole, where do you stop? Because some people's distaste for others does others harm. Okay. Like Jodi Picoult's book, it is one of my top five favorite books of all time, Small Great Things. It's fantastic. Everyone should read it. It's so fucking good. But, spoiler alert, he comes around. He figures out that hating...
Thanks a lot, Jax!
Well, hating people is not the answer, is what he finally... Like, hate is only hurting him. So, but you look at it... I would love to say to a point... I want to have empathy for others. I want to know their story. I want to know where they're coming from. If they're not doing harm to other people, like these 90-year-old and 85-year-old people who don't like black people because that's the society they grew up in, I have a little bit more grace for them, more patience for them, because they're not actually actively trying to harm others. I do not have patience for people who shoot black men in the back when they're running away from them. Like that is not something I have a great deal of empathy for. And that is because you're entitled to your opinions until it infringes on the rights of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this on here before. Rights are a tricky thing. You have to appreciate them even when you don't agree with them. And right. Even the person I dislike the most has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in this country. I don't get to end their existence because I don't like them. So that's where my empathy for those people stops. You can feel a certain type of way about whoever you want. You don't get to harm them. whether that's financially, physically, through their families, selling them property, whatever. You don't get to do that. I guess it's my kind of like, cool, feel how you want, but here's my fuck you line. Like, yeah. And you need to be regulated, and you need to be shut up, and you need to sit the fuck down, because you don't get to harm others because you are 50 years behind. And you don't get to harm others because you're just scared. And that's what it comes down to. People are afraid of what they don't know. And I think that's an under-evolved interpretation of life, like life around you. Yeah. I learn things about people all the time. Things that I had no idea about that changes my mind about certain things or certain interactions or certain concepts of the world. And I'm grateful when I learn those things because it sheds light on something I didn't know about before. But if you're closed off to those things, I don't think in a civilized society, I just don't feel like you may still have a place here. I don't want to see you hurt. Like, I don't want to see that. But I think your voice at the table, you need to go to the back, because we've heard from you long enough. Like, we just have. Like, go sit in the peanut gallery, flap your lips, post whatever you want on Facebook, but you don't get to make decisions anymore, because it's your time's over. Yeah, your time's just over.
I agree. You know, like, I've come across a couple people in my life where they're such a nice person, and God, man, they're funny, and wow, blah blah blah, and then you learn about them and you're like, what? And this person is not who I thought they were. I am not okay with their beliefs. I am horrified by a lot of them, and it's hard to be around them then, you know, because they're there in your life, and you're just like, I have learned so much about you that has made your behavior just unacceptable. And how do you even like approach that too? Because like at the end of the day, they're still that quote unquote nice person, but like their beliefs have made you think differently about them. You know, like your beliefs make you think differently about their beliefs. And it's that whole like, when the whole, you know, election happened and people were like, unfriend me if you feel differently about XYZ, or if you like this, I need you to unfriend me. Like, no, just unfriend them yourself, first of all. But second, like, like also, like, our world is so, it has changed and become the same in the same breath. And it's so scary. It's scary. It
right.
Really,
like, I can think you're funny, but if you tell me that trans people need to be hung, your opinions on things hold much less value to me. And your friendship means nothing to me at that point, because you want to do harm to a group of people that have never harmed you.
Right.
And you are just speaking out of fear and ignorance. Like, those are the kinds of things. Now, do I think that you should be killed also? No, I don't. But I think you would probably, I don't, because I think those people would be served well to meet a trans person and hear about their struggles and hear about their life and hear about how they grew up and that everything that they had to go through to get where they are now. Like, I don't know. I understand, but as a civilized people, how do we make all those things align? Where do we make them make sense? Like, where do you draw your line? Like, this person, this is what eventually changed my opinion of the death penalty. My opinion on the death penalty has shifted. I no longer believe in it, because I think things shift and things change and new evidence comes out and yada yada. We won't get into that. But I
tune in next time.
I can no longer tolerate people in my life that want to do harm or withhold rights from people that I think are entitled to rights also, even if I don't agree with them.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen the movie Assassination Nation?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. So it came out like probably a year ago now, maybe a little less, maybe like 9 months. And it's a group of girls that are in high school. And one of them, well, they're kind of all just kind of, I don't want to say loose, but they're kind of all loose. They all are those party girls that go to, you know, the parties and drink and smoke and You know, they're having sex and whatever. But there's a trans girl in there, and it's interesting to see, because what happens is this villain hacks everyone's whatever, hacks everything about them, like gets all of their stuff out there, like every single person in the town, and the town basically turns on them like the Purge. And it's like all of these men want to kill these four girls because of everything that they've done and all the texts that they've sent. And it's so obviously crazy and would never happen, maybe. But it's so also just like this testament to like how girls act one way, you know, and then are branded for the rest of their lives because of how they acted in high school. But it's also just a really good movie in the sense that there are so many things that happen in this movie that should never fucking happen. Like this trans girl almost gets hung because she has sex with a guy, and this guy doesn't stick up for her because he fell in love with her and he doesn't stick up for her. And then it's just this whole like emotional roller coaster that you're on with them. And it's a very good movie in the sense that what happens to people and how their minds just shift because of something they found out about someone that they already had this vision of them, this image of them in their head, and they find out something that like cements it, and that's it. They're gone. They're just,
it's like the Salem witch trials and yes. mob mentality, both.
Exactly. That is exactly the town they live in is called Salem. Like that.
Well,
is,
there you go.
It's literally like the same thing. It's like they are branded as these whores because they, you know, they have sex with boys. Well, yeah, they're girls. They're in high school. They're going to have sex with boys, like, or girls, whatever. You know, so, I mean, at the end of the day, though, it's like you, it's like this one little tiny thing happens and it just blows up. It is honestly one of my favorite movies. Like, I love this movie. I think it is awesome. It's so well done. It is far-fetched as fuck, but it is good. It is a good movie. It's a really good commentary on society right now.
Here's the bottom line. Put us in charge of all the things.
All the things.
All the things. Just put us in charge of the things. And we'll work it out. Don't worry about it. We'll work it out. We'll drink... Aaron will drink wine and chase it with fucking Tito's and...
I mixed some look.
Speaking of, how's everybody's drinks?
Mine is a little tart for my liking, but despite the heartburn, it's probably okay for people that like a red blend with a lot of like Syrah kind of aftertaste.
Mine was good.
Mine is really delicious for anyone that likes a bit of a red blend with vodka.
For all those out there that like red blend fucking wine with vodka, you're in luck. Aaron's
the rosé spritzer, all right?
Well, Aaron, thank you for filling in for Stacy this week. We probably won't be back to you next week until Sunday, because I have some work stuff and the Stacys don't record without me for some reason. So until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with us through this, whatever this was.
I don't even know what this was.
It's awesome. It's the best episode.
Our sex episode is still the most downloaded, but... We are going to continue with that conversation where we just talk without the listener questions, but we have to wait for single people to weigh in because we're all useless. So
that's 2.0 coming soon.
Until next week. Thank you for joining us. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Bye.
Bye. This.